Welcome to an exposition of the Gospel of John with Rev I.T. Matura. Get ready to be empowered and transformed by the Word of God.
Hallelujah. Welcome to lesson 16, which I've titled The True Vine. I'm going to do an overview of chapter 15 of the Gospel of John. Thereafter, look at the key revelation which we find in John 15 and verse 5. Then I'll conclude with five lessons that we draw out of this chapter. And I believe you'll be blessed and equipped by the Word of God. Get ready now, get your Bible, get your notebook. Let us flow together in the Word. What a powerful chapter that we are about to look at. We are continuing from chapter 14 that we're looking at yesterday, where Jesus is ministering to the disciples. He's comforting them, telling them he's going, but he will prepare a place for them, encourages them to believe in him for greater works, and gives them the promise of the Holy Spirit, the comforter, the helper, the advocate, the Spirit of truth that will teach them all things. Now, when we come to chapter 15, you find this chapter is a loaded chapter. And when you have a Bible that records the words of Jesus in red, you see that every word, almost every word in that chapter is in red. There is no narration. It's direct quotations from what Jesus said. John was quoting directly the words of Jesus. He was not adding anything or subtracting anything. So that's the power that is in this chapter. From verse 1 to 7, we see there Jesus talking about the true vine and the branches. He says in verse 1, I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman, which means the vine dresser. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth, that it bring forth more fruit. Hallelujah. So Jesus is saying, I am the vine. You see, the vine is that, I don't know whether we can call it a plant or a tree where you get grapes. So it's not very strong in terms of like other trees. But you see that it is from the vine that the branches branch out. And those branches that branch out are able then to produce the fruit, which are the grapes. So you see a vine that will be loaded with grapes. But there is no branch that has grapes without being connected to the vine. If it was a tree, the vine would be the stem. And it is the stem that is grounded and goes to the roots, gets the nutrients and gives them to the branches. So Jesus says, my Father is the vine dresser, the husbandman, and is on a lookout for branches that are not bearing fruit, he removes. And those that are bearing fruit, he purgeth, like prunes them, so that they may bring forth more fruit. And it goes on to say in verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can you except you abide in me. So he begins then to illustrate now, to say, what does it mean to abide in the vine? Because he is the vine. Verse 1 says, I am the true vine. Hallelujah. And that's the seventh I am that we see. It says, I am the true vine. So he says, you abide in me and I in you. For a branch on its own is powerless. It can't produce fruit. Verse 5, I am the vine. You are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Hallelujah. So you see the increase in fruit and dimension. It says, it begins by saying bears fruit, then says more fruit, then much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. So you see that without Christ, there is nothing that we can do. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burnt. So you see, a branch that is disconnected it begins to wither. And he says it's only left to be thrown into the fire. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask whatever you will and it will be done unto you. Hallelujah. What a blessing. Verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you shall be my disciples. So we glorify God by bearing fruit. When we produce fruit, we glorify God. God is glorified. In other gospel, Jesus teaches that let your works shine before men, that they may glorify your Father in heaven. So when we bear much fruit, it says it's also a sign that we are disciples. Verse number 9, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Continue in my love. Hallelujah. This is Jesus now. So in verse 8 to 17, we begin to see the commandment of love. It is a continuation from the previous chapters where Jesus introduces a new commandment. And he's saying, as the Father has loved me, so I've loved you. So continue in my love. Hallelujah. If you keep my commandments, you abide in my love, even as I've kept the commandments of the Father and abide in his love. So we see again the emphasis that to love Christ is to obey his commandments, is to keep his commandments. And he says, these things I've spoken unto you, that your joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full, it might be complete. Verse 12, this commandment, this is my commandment, love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. Hallelujah. And we see that greater love in Christ Jesus, because he laid down his life for us. So he says, henceforth, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know what his master is doing. I call you friends, for the things that I've heard from the Father, I have made known unto you. So it is that revelation, when you receive revelation, it shifts you. You come to a place of a close relationship with Jesus Christ. Verse 16, have I not chosen you, but I have chosen you. It says, sorry, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you may go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, and whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Hallelujah. So when we are fruitful, it is also a blessing that brings answered prayers. These things I command you, that you love one another. We then see from verse 18 to 27, the cost of being a disciple. Jesus begins to talk about the persecution that the disciples should expect because they are followers of Christ. He says in verse 18, if the world hate you, you know that they hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own, but because you are not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word I say to you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will also keep yours. So Jesus says here, I've been hated because I'm not of this world. And says, as long as you are my disciples and you are not of this world, the world will hate you too. So don't be surprised, my dear brother, my dear sister, when you are hated for following after Christ, for believing in Jesus Christ. He says, if I was persecuted, no servant is greater than his master. You will be persecuted also. So you as a believer, you must expect persecution because you are a believer. Because if they did that to our master, they will definitely do it to us also. But all these things will be done unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If they had not come and spoken unto them, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they would not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. They have no removal for their sin. He that hateth me hated the Father also who sent me. So you see that theme again, Jesus saying, I have been sent. And he that does not receive me does not receive the Father. And He who hates Christ also hates the Father. Mercy. Verse 24, and if I had not done among them the works which I done, which none other men did, they had not had sin. But now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. Jesus continues to show that his works testified that he had been sent of the Father. Now, as Jesus concludes this chapter and teaching his disciples, as he tells them to expect persecution, he doesn't end with persecution. He then tells them again about the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. Verse 26 says, but the Comforter is come. When the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father. So Jesus will send from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, who proceeds forth from the Father, he will testify of me. So you see that Christ will send the Holy Spirit, and he has sent him. And the Spirit proceeded from the Father. You see the Trinity there. And the Spirit testifies of Jesus. So when there is a spirit that is not aligning to what Jesus teaches or what he taught, which is in the Word, then that's not the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit, the Comforter, the Spirit of truth, aligns with the Word of Christ. So this is how you discern the Spirit of God in that which is not of God. Verse 27 says, and you also shall bear witness, because you have seen me, you have been with me from the beginning. Talking of his disciples, that from the time I called you, you shall also testify about me. Now the key scripture or key revelation there, we see one in verse 5 and also in verse number 8. Verse 5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So Jesus says, I am the vine, we are the branches. We have to remain. To remain means to remain connected, to abide, never to detach ourselves. That's the only way we can produce fruit. And without him, we are nothing. Mzalwan, my brother, my sister, without Jesus, you are nothing. There is nothing you can do. No matter how much hard work you put in, no matter what you do, whatever you build will come to nothing. It will be like sand castles by the beach or the seashore. When the waves come, everything is wiped away. It is only when we abide in Christ that we can do something that is meaningful, and we can produce fruit, and much fruit. Hallelujah. Verse number 8, 7, I mean to say, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you want, what you will, or what you want, and it will be done for you or unto you. So abiding in Christ means abiding in his word. Hey. And it says, when you abide in me and my words abide in you, when you allow the words of Christ, what he taught, to abide, to dwell in us, through when we read, we meditate, we study the word, we listen to the word, when they abide in us, he says, then ask whatever you want and it will be done for you. Whatever. But the condition is abide in Christ and his words abide in us. Then we can ask whatever we want and it will be done unto us. Hallelujah. I'll look at 5 lessons as we wind up. Number 1, the secret of being fruitful is in remaining connected to Jesus. That's where the secret is. He is the vine. If you want to produce, if you want to be fruitful, be connected. How do you remain connected? Prayer. Talk to him in prayer. Fellowship with him. Yes. In the word. You remain connected to him in the word. Daily devotions. As you are connected, you begin to see fruit manifest in you. The book of Psalm says in chapter 1, meditate on the law of God day and night, and you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters that brings forth fruit in its season. The tree is fruitful and does not wither. Why? It's connected to the river. It abides by the river. So when you remain connected, you naturally and supernaturally produce fruit. Lesson number two, the secret to answered prayer is in having the word abide in us. If you want prayers that are answered, abide in the word. It says in 1 John, this is the confidence that we have, that when we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. When we ask anything according to his will, and where is his will? His will is in his word. So when his word abides in us, when we pray the word. So we pray the will of God. So we can't pray amiss when the word of God is in us. But you see that many times we are very shallow in the word. So our prayers are very shallow. But he's saying when you abide in him and the words of Christ, his word abides in us. Whatever we ask, whatever, because we are not going to ask selfishly anymore. We are going to ask aligned to the word and the will of God and by faith. And that God will always answer. Hallelujah. Number three, Jesus has appointed us, called us and appointed us to be fruitful and to produce fruit that lasts. We have been appointed. We are called. Our calling is for us to be fruitful. It pleases God when we are fruitful and he has appointed us. It means he has set us apart to produce much fruit, and our fruit has to last. It's one of my prayers that God, let the fruit I produce last. May we not do things that are there for 2, 3, 5 years and they are gone. 10 years and they are no more there to be found. But may we build by the grace of God and be fruitful, that even after we are gone, the fruit will remain. The fruit will remain and last and speak to generations to come in the name of Jesus. The grace to be fruitful and to produce fruit that will last. Number four, we are commanded to love. I want you to understand that love is a commandment. It's not a choice. It's not a suggestion. Jesus did not suggest that we love. He commanded us to love. If you are not walking in love, you are disobeying, because love is a commandment. He says, love one another. It is a commandment. If we abide in his love, when we obey his commandment, we abide in his love. That is what it means to abide in Christ and abide in the Father, because the Father is love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So if we are to abide in his love, we have to obey his commandment. And his commandment is a commandment of love. Then finally, following Jesus comes with persecution, the cost of persecution. There is a cost to following Jesus. And we must always know that. And we must be ready to pay the price. That is why Jesus says, deny yourself, carry your cross. There is a cross to carry. Any gospel that tries to remove the cross and just want to preach a comfortable gospel without the cross, it is not a true gospel. Apostle Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the cross, for it is the power of God unto salvation. It is the power of God. He says, I was convinced not to preach anything else except Christ crucified. That's where the power is. The gospel comes with persecution. As long as we follow Christ, there will be trials, tribulations. But God has given us the Holy Spirit to comfort us and to strengthen us along the journey, so that we might be able to make it to the end. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for revealing to us that Jesus is the vine. Give us the grace to be connected. to remain, to abide in Him, in the Word, in fellowship, not to detach ourselves, not to allow the worries, the cares of this world to detach us, but we may remain connected, and that God, we may produce fruit, more fruit and much fruit. I pray that our fruit may remain and it may last in the name of Jesus. Pray that God, we may walk in obedience and obey the commandment of love. That firstly, we may love you, our Lord, our God, with all our hearts, all our soul, and all our mind, and love our brothers and sisters as we love ourselves, that we may walk in love. Father, give us the strength by your Holy Spirit to endure the persecutions, the hatred that come with following Jesus. We pray that the Holy Spirit may strengthen us to carry the cross and to endure the challenges because of the joy that has been set before us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Stay blessed.
Thank you for connecting to today's teaching. Looking forward to connecting again tomorrow. For more of Rev I.T. Matura's biblical teachings, go to innocentmatura.podbean.com.